Welcome, welcome, beloved listeners, to the Little Wireless program. In just a moment, I'll say shalom to Shapiro. I want to talk to him about the New York City elections. Driving in, I heard yet again the phrase on the verge of civil war. It was being applied to Egypt, and you wonder what represents the tipping point. How many bodies do you have before you take verge out of the equation? You can certainly take it out in Iraq, where 4,000 people have died so far this year in violence we haven't seen the likes of since 2008. And Patrick Coburn and Rosemary Hollis will be joining me shortly to discuss it. Then we're going to discover a new Aboriginal language. And this is a really fascinating story. And that in turn reminds me that I should pay tribute to Away, that fine Radio National program on Indigenous matters, 21 years old today. Good on you. And in turn, I wish to take just a moment to celebrate another venerable program, and I speak of Four Corners. Now, I don't hold with television. I think it's an overpraised, overrated bloody medium, and I've said for years it's a passing fad, and that turns out to be correct. Network television's going down the gurgler almost as fast as the printed newspaper. But there are some programs which deserve to be held up and acclaimed, and Four Corners has to be one of them. I remember it as though it were yesterday when Michael Charlton presented the very first Four Corners under the auspices of an old friend of this program's, Bob Raymond. Bob was followed by Alan Ashbolt, Gerald Lyons, Bob Moore, Sam Lipsky, all other extraordinary people, and the number of great reporters is, take me the rest of the program to just roll through the credits. But what other program has done such a great job over such a long, long time in breadth and in depth? Good on you, Four Corners, and good on you, Bruce Shapiro. How are you?
Oh, glad to be here. Just sitting in beautiful Hanover, New Hampshire this morning, not far from the Connecticut River, not far from Dartmouth College.
Well, it's so echoey, it sounds like you're sitting in a great sewer somewhere. But talking about a great sewer, tell me about the New York City elections.
It's a kind of fascinating time in New York City. You know, we really thought that we knew where the elections were going. We thought Christine Quinn was the front runner, that Anthony Weiner would get a lot of attention, and so on. Then, of course, Weiner had his scandal, and suddenly, in the last few weeks, the race has been upended. There's a fellow running among the pool of candidates named Bill de Blasio, who's the city's public advocate, a really interesting job, interesting elected office, who's there to protect consumers and advance the public interest in various ways. Bill de Blasio is running a campaign based almost exclusively on tackling inequality, on challenging what has been one of the most prominent parts of Mayor Bloomberg's legacy, the transformation of the city into one of the most unequal places in the country, where you've got, you know, nearly half the city at or near the poverty level at the same time that the city has unprecedented prosperity, and Manhattan in particular has become spectacularly expensive.
Are you arguing that he's been the mayor for the wealthy?
Well, I think Mayor Bloomberg's legacy is complicated. He certainly has been, in one way, a huge champion of Wall Street and a huge champion of real estate interests in the city. And indeed, part of the problem that Christina Quinn, the city council president, first open lesbian to run for mayor in the city of New York, that she's having is that she's perceived as having defended Mayor Bloomberg and development interests throughout the last decade in the city, whereas de Blasio is talking about creating a New York for New Yorkers policy based on creating affordable housing, on addressing the many things that help that would help people actually live in the city. New Yorkers are being driven out of the city by the lack of affordable housing, for instance. And that has become surprisingly appealing in this year's campaign. It's a really startling turnabout. He's now the front runner. He surged ahead of Quinn. And we have a primary, you know, coming up on September 10th. So it's only a few weeks away, a startling change in the electoral landscape.
I'm shocked that you suggest that New York is expensive and lacks cheap housing. I thought Donald Trump had fixed all that.
Well, listen, compared to Sydney, New York may or may not be so expensive. But look, the big challenge is that on the one hand, you've got this booming real estate economy in New York, booming finance sector and so on, but public schools are in bad shape. Public housing is in horrific shape, and that in some ways was worsened by Hurricane Sandy last year, which damaged a lot of units. You've got about 100,000 New Yorkers every year spending at least a night in homeless shelter. So it's a kind of echo of the Gilded Age, you know, one of those periods of extreme inequality. And what de Blasio has gotten some leverage. He's really found some appeal by asking, what kind of a city is this going to be?
How's he doing the asking, Bruce? What's the method of assessing the temperature?
Well, first of all of the mayoral candidates are working incredibly hard, just going all over the city every day. Another guy, John Liu, did a 24-hour all-borough tour recently as a kind of publicity stunt, but that captures pretty much what all of them are doing. In de Blasio's case, he also has created an exceptionally thoughtful platform that just goes down issue by issue in a very comprehensive policy wonky kind of way. Even the New York Times, which hasn't yet endorsed a mayoral candidate in this race, has praised him as having the meatiest material, which in a race that includes Anthony Weider's photo may not be the best choice of best phrase to use in this year's presidential or mayoral election. But, you know, there's a kind of intellectual component to de Blasio to back up what has been an effective populist campaign style.
It's interesting that the New Yorkers are addressing issues rather than, with the exception of Weiner, personalities.
Yes, it's and this may be the most unexpected development in this campaign at all. I mean, after all, New York is the media city. After all, we're in an era of you know, Twitter and an era of sound bites, and we tend to think that personalities rule everything. But in fact, New York is a very smart place. And there is a big roiling debate among New Yorkers, it has been for a long time, over issues as diverse as stop and frisk, which you and I talked about last week, which de Blasio is also a huge critic of the Bloomberg administration's policy, over issues like public health, over bicycle lanes. New York is a city where people lock heads over ideas and policies, and that finally is happening in the last weeks of this campaign.
Thanks, Bruce. Good to talk to you. Bruce Shapiro, and he, of course, is our regular correspondent on Matters American, and with a heavy emphasis, I must say, on New York, Manhattan, and matters arising. This is LNL on Radio National. Let me repeat the figure. 4,000 people have died in Iraq so far this year in violence, the likes of which we haven't witnessed since 2008. Let's find out what the hell is going on.